Well, Elkie should have surprised you. You know, Doug has been a wonderful voiceover with a marvelous radio voice for many years. But even Doug would admit he's not as pretty as Elkie and some of the other ladies. And this is TV. So, if you think that Elkie wasn't talking plain after the first announcement, this is Dr. Jean Scott's program already in progress. She then said it in German. Now, several of the ladies that, for want of a better term, we call the Bells of St. Jean, though I'm sure I'll come up with a better name, are multilingual. Melissa speaks several languages, and she'll be doing a voiceover in Italian and French. Nikki is Norwegian, and on I can go. Also with Swedish. We have probably a dozen languages at least represented. So I said, why not visually entertain you while we do these voiceovers? Plus the fact we're an international network. Now, this was a simple voiceover, but it'll get more complicated. All the voiceovers, phone numbers, name, the pulpit, that we're on internet, and there it becomes critical on internet, because people can listen and catch the thoughts of what I'm saying, because English is a universal language and we're appealing to the English-speaking peoples of every nation. But we have started and are doing multilingual communions, and I still want to expand that. That's one item of the 24-hour programming that I'd like to get in at least 20 languages that are the major languages of the world. But I have noticed when we look at the mail, my name gets spelled strange ways. And any of you who have learned a second or a third language, there's normally a little more intrinsic interest in learning the normal vocabulary. Then you get down to memorizing the numbers and learn how to count, just so that you don't get taken for cleaning at the cash register in a foreign land. But numbers are not, thousands of people who speak English are not that good with the numbers or the spelling of a name. So when we're giving addresses, giving phone numbers, giving specific detail like internet access codes, I decided that with these girls with multiple languages, why not have them do voiceovers in two languages over a period of 24 hours, the address and phone numbers and specific data that they need to write down will end up being said in 10, 12, 15, or 20 languages. I don't want every 15 minutes just English and Spanish. The plan is to have a different girl give the voiceovers at different times, so that over a 24-hour period, we'll hit just about every language, and each girl will only do English, followed by a free translation in her own language. We almost did Olsen Swedish and Melissa in Italian one night after a festival a few weeks ago or months ago, and Elkie was the first with the horses, so I put her out here first with the bilingual English-German voiceover, except it's no longer a voiceover. Now I figure a few people will tune in every 15 minutes just to see the what used to be sort of routine, boring announcements. It was kind of fun to see the expressions of the voices of faith in here when, by surprise, Elkie was saying, this is Dr. Jean Scott's program. And while you were still recovering from the shock, she gave it in German. Three or four cuts of that. We'll have her do it again before the night's over. But whether you like it or not, I'm going to do it, but I think you'll like it. Everybody seems to like the girls all right. It's kind of dumb if you don't. Get on telephone. We're live now. I think you figured that out. Now, as I told you in the previous half hour, several of the girls who are my friends, and we've been calling the Bells of St. Jean. I can have fun with that because by traditional definition, I'm no saint. By God's definition, I am, so it gives me a chance to argue with tradition. Several of them are multilingual. As I said 30 minutes ago, Doug, who's been doing the voiceovers for years, has a wonderful voice, but he's just not as pretty as these girls. And we're already friends, so why not use their linguistic skills, since we're an international network. Melissa, for example, will do voiceovers in French and Italian. We have other girls that speak Swedish. Nikki is Norwegian. Hopefully I'll get about 15 to 20 different voiceovers in two languages. Elke was English, followed by German. All of the voiceovers need to be replaced with show-stopping beautiful women. It's a station break time is when people channel surf. I'll bet you nobody thought they were tuning in on a televangelist there for a minute or two. So expect more and more of that with the different girls providing voiceovers. I think it'll be fun. But right now, nothing's fun to me unless you get on the telephone. Now hurry up. Genesis chapter 6, one of the strangest chapters of the Bible. It would be better if you could read Hebrew, then let me help you with it. The fifth chapter talks about the priestly line, really. After Cain had killed Abel, the fifth chapter says, "This is the written account of Adam's line. Adam." Adam is a cognate word taken directly from the Hebrew three-consonant name Adam. It's not some English word translating. It is, the Hebrew word is Adam, and it comes into the English transliterated Adam. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, the literal is, in day to create God of man, Adam, in likeness of God, he made him, male and female, he created them and he blessed them. And he called the name of them man. No, he didn't call the name of them man. See how the King James translates it. I'm going to read the King James. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Strike that word man out. Man and Adam are not synonyms. I'm going to give you the literal Hebrew. This account of lines of Adam. Aleph, Dalit Mem. Three Hebrew consonants, the equivalents of R, A, D, and M. The vowel points are added later in the language. It could be a dim, could be odom, but orally through the centuries it was passed on, and when vowel points were added, odom became the accepted pronunciation. This is the book of the generation. I'll read it again in the Hebrew. This account of lines of odom. In day to create God, Odom. In day that God created man, the King James says, no, strike it out. Adam. Wish I had my computer here, I'd show you the Hebrew. The English language has a style habit. It is simply not good written English to use the same word twice in the same language, same noun, or proper name if you can avoid it. So they substitute what has come to be a synonym in the English, was not a synonym in the Hebrew. The Hebrew didn't care about adding the same word again. The literal is, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created Adam, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Then from Seth to Enos, and from Enos to Cainan, and on to Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the last verse, 32 of the fifth chapter. After tracing that priestly line of the descendants of Adam, we have this strange chapter. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, not so. The literal Hebrew. And he was when he began the Adam. He, the definite article added to the word. It's he, aleph, dalet, mem again. A, D, M, preceded by the definite article, he. It is not to be translated. It came to pass when men began to multiply. The Hebrew word for men is ishi. The literal is, it came to pass when Adam, strike out men, when Adam began to multiply on the face of the earth. And remember, in the previous chapter it said he gave to them, Adam and his wife, the name, he called them Adam. Came to pass when Adam began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. We trace the male line in the fifth chapter. That the sons of God, well, that's interesting. Let me go literal. And he was when he began the Adam, to increase on face of the earth, and daughters they were born to them. And they saw sons of the God. Again, the definite article, heh. The word is Elohim. Aleph, El, heh, Yod, Mem. Elohim, the plural for El. The opening chapter of Genesis says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. God translates Elohim. Elohim is the plural of El. So going out the gate, you got some problem with monotheism. Well, I don't really see why polytheism is that bad. Depends who the poly is. The Hebrews got around it by having a very sophisticated angelology and demonology. There was the God, and then there were all the rest. And in the earliest New Testament first century view, Jesus was viewed just as top of the angel line to avoid criticisms of polytheism. And the Hebrews so prided themselves in monotheism that it was the fear of polytheism being attached that led to the church councils and all the wrestling with the complicated nature of Jesus and nature of the Holy Spirit and the Trinitarian doctrine. I believe it. An article of faith. I can recite the Nicene Creed. I wrote the creed for a major denomination. But it's logical nonsense. And I agree with Tillich. It's almost as blasphemous to define God as it is to deny Him. We're looking through a glass darkly. We're like blind people defining an elephant, depending on which part we touch. God communicated from out of the eternal into the realm of time, and He communicated by sending the essence of His life into a tent of human flesh, who related Himself to His Father. And I've quoted it probably 10,000 times since I've been here these 20 years. The opening phrases of John's Gospel: in the beginning was the Logos. Definite articles are important in the Greek. And the Logos was with the Theos. Definite article, giving it distinction. The Logos was different than the Theos. And the Logos was with, literally facing the Theos. And the Logos was Theos. Not the Theos, Theos. Definite article dropped, meaning of the same essence, but not the Theos. Distinct from, yet of the same essence. And the Logos was made the flesh and dwelt among us. I can quote the Trinity doctrine, but it's wrong. It's logically nonsense. Nobody can explain it. It's an article of faith. What we can explain is how we meet God in Christ. And the Logos was of the same essence as the Theos, was Theos, and they were together for eternity. Satan is a created being. The Logos was not a created being. Eternal, of the same essence, and with the Theos. We know from Hebrews that the Logos, who is Jesus incarnate, was the speaking voice that brought the universe into existence. But we have a plural statement of the Most High God, Elohim. Elohim created. We also have Elohim applied to angels. And we use the word God, speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, but Paul says in the New Testament, and particularly the book of Hebrews makes much of this, that the law was not given by God Almighty. The law was given by angels to Moses. Elohim. Now, that's not the subject tonight. And it caused the brains, the best brains of the world in that day, to wrestle for centuries to come up with ways to define God, because we're trying to bring God eternal into our limited visual time, space, and language frame. He's not that small. We've got to be satisfied with the glimpse we have through a glass darkly. But I'm saying to you that these sons of God, literally, in the Hebrew, are the sons of the Elohim. Which I can give you 100 references, is applied to other angels in the hierarchy of those beings around God before Adam was created. These sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Strike it out again. I'll read you the Hebrew, or translate it literally. Third verse. Then he said, Yahweh, identifying who said it, the Lord Jehovah, not he will contend, spirit of me, with the man, no, with the Adam, Aleph, Dalet, Mem, A-D-M. Strike men out. What this verse says in the Hebrew, the Lord said, My spirit shall not always with the man contend, with Adam, not with the man. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with Adam, not man. Ishi is the word for man. For that he also is flesh. See, a warfare was going on. Now, in the New Testament, when the door is opened and the Spirit comes to abide, as I preached a couple of Sundays ago, and using the diagram of Freud's normal psychology, the implant of a spirit creates a situation where warfare goes on, striving. The spirit implanted and the fruit thereof with the desires and lusts of the flesh. And Galatians has it, they're dug in like armies in trench warfare. God's saying the same thing here. His spirit's not always going to strive. Always strive with Adam. And that's what made Adam different than any other creature. God breathed into Adam, put some of his life in him, his spirit, the breath of God. And man became a living soul. Adam became a living soul, not man. Now that created this conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And the Lord said, My spirit, it shall not always strive with Adam. For that he also is flesh, mortal. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Nephilim is the word. And also after that, when the sons of Elohim came in unto the daughters of men, fourth verse, I'm going to literalize it again. The Nephilim, they were on the earth in the days of those, and also after then when they went, sons of the Elohim, to daughters of the Adam. Again, it's A-D-M. Not daughters of men, daughters of Adam. I repeat, Ishi is men. And they bear children. How many of you have children in italics? Children's added by the translators. Children is young men. doesn't say that these offspring are half man or any kind of man. Children should be struck out. Let me give you the literal. Am I boring you? Fourth verse. The Nephilim, they were on the earth in the days of those and also after. Then when they went, sons of the Elohim, to daughters of the Adam, and they bore to them. That's all it says. They bore to them. Doesn't say what they bore. They had offspring, would be a better word. Offspring of this union between the sons of Elohim and the daughters of Adam. They bore to them. King James says this: they bore children to them. Strike children out. They bear to them. The same became. How many have became in italics? Added by the translators. They didn't become anything. They were what they were. Translators, King James, just didn't believe this. So they had to humanize it. They came unto the daughters of Adam, and they bore to them. And the same mighty men, not in the Hebrew. Sorry. Let me read the literal again. The Nephilim, they were on the earth in the days of those and also after them, when they went, sons of the Elohim, to daughters of the Adam, and they bore to them, they, the heroes. The heroes is a better translation. Bedalium is the word. How you get men of renown out of Bedalium, I don't know. And not a, neither Ishi nor Adam in that word. It's heroes. Giants. Outstanding creatures. Scary things. The heroes which of old, men of the name. Men of, which is what men of renown, not even close. Mighty men is Bedeim. Men of renown is an Ishi. You see the difference? I've told you Ishi is the word for man. Bedeim is heroes. Literally, it should translate, they came into the daughters of Adam, and they bore to them the same heroes and renowned men, Nishi. You want me to continue? Get on telephone. Okay, no more calls. This is pretty heavy stuff. If I'm boring you, you just tell me. I want you to correct your Genesis 6 because it's a strange chapter. Let's go over it again with you. And it came to pass when men, the Hebrew word for man is Ishi. God created Adam. And when it says God created Adam and breathed into him, and man became a living soul, that's a mistranslation. The literal is God created Adam and breathed into him, and Adam became a living soul. It doesn't change from Adam to Ishi. It's Adam every time, as with here. It came to pass when men, not the plural of Ishi, Adam. It came to pass when Adam began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim, plural, saw the daughters of Adam, not Ishi, not men, Adam, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, these must have been pretty terrifying creatures because they just took whatever they wanted. the rest of the male line of Adam apparently had nothing to say about it. But this is my wife. Well, sorry, I want her. These pretty terrifying creatures. The sons of Elohim saw the daughters of Adam, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with Adam, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The wives didn't have to submit. When I said pretty terrifying creatures, I guess they scared the men away, but they attracted the men. I mean, they attracted the women. And you got to think of Adam as not just male in this context. It's both male and female, the descendants of Adam. There were giants in the earth in those days, Nephilim. Also after that, when the sons of Elohim came in unto the daughters of Adam, and they bare, strike children out, bare to them the same, not mighty men, but Dayim, heroes, which were, is in italics, added by the translators, which of old men of renown strike men out again. The word is Anishi. Neither Adam nor sons of Elohim, but Dayim and Anishi, overpowering heroic figures. Ishi, mankind of renown. And God saw, verse 5, and he saw Yahweh how great wickedness, not mankind, wickedness of man, the Adam. God saw that the wickedness of the Adam was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made, strike man out again, the sixth chapter, sixth verse, made Adam on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. Seventh verse. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. No, strike it out. I will destroy Adam. That's all the Adam descendants, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both the Adam, not man, strike it out, and the beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man at destruction time when God was going to wipe him out. Now, old Bishop Usher, he concluded from genealogies that the earth was 4,000 years before Christ, B.C. You can't conclude any such things from genealogies. Nobody knows how old the earth is. There's a vast gulf of time between Genesis 1:1, when God created originally, and Genesis 1:2, when the earth became a waste and a desolation. We don't know how much time goes back before the flood, when God wiped out all but Noah and his family of that center of mankind descended from Adam. And there's a lot of people that frown on the Bible because they think it's not scientific. Bad Bible teaching gives you that idea. The Bible's not a scientific document, but there's nothing in the Bible that conflicts with science. That's an amazing discovery reported today. I saw in the paper, but also have an internet message coming, NASA has made a startling discovery that points to the possibility that a primitive form of microscopic life may have existed on Mars more than 3 billion years ago. The research is based on a sophisticated examination of an ancient Martian meteorite that landed on Earth, interesting date, some 13,000 years ago. Edgar Cayce, the visionary prophet who gave readings while appearing to be in his sleep, dated Atlantis more than 10,000 years ago. I firmly believe that Atlantis existed, the most logical place in the ocean that's named after it, Atlantic. Plato wasn't telling a parable, he was passing on a story from Egypt. It was a Pasadena scientist that figured out that the Earth, a long time ago, had a canopy formed of ice and water that covered the Earth, giving it a greenhouse effect, which explains the accuracy of the Bible's report that it never rained until the time of Noah and the flood. It could rain for 40 days on the earth and it wouldn't flood the earth. The fountains of the deep opened up and water gushed up from below, and the canopy burst and water rained down beyond belief. Not just ordinary rain. Atlantis sank, which was the territory of the antediluvians. But not as we have, through genealogy, dated the flood. Way back there. And if Genesis 6 is correct, there was a master race. Strange characters. Two of them. There was Adam's descendants. They were pretty good. Just imagine how smart you would be if you lived 700, 800, 900 years. Knowledge compounds. So you, if you believe the Bible, and I have no trouble with the longevity. If we take Drummond's definition of life, that life is capacity to relate to one's environment, and prior to Adam and Eve's fall, they were in constant contact with the source of life, daily personal contact with God, the source of all life. And when driven from the garden, and whether in type or reality, the cherubims with flaming swords kept them from having access to the tree of life. A corny analogy, but like a golf cart that can no longer go to the shed and recharge, it starts dying. And separated from the source of life, mutations occurred in the genes. Any geneticists will tell you that mutations never improve the cell development, they degenerate it. Disease, separation from God's knowledge, it's logical to assume that those closest to the source of life lived long. Then add another dimension. We all know the aging effect of the sun. The canopy removed that. And don't try to live forever by going and building a rubber tent of water and live under it the rest of your life. A lot of things went into that longevity. But these antediluvians were some smart Adamites who lived a long time. Then add to that the sons of Elohim who had access. all primitive societies in this northern hemisphere locate heaven to the north, because the outlet into the heavens above from Earth through the canopy was at the North Pole. That's where they'd come in, these sons of Elohim, whomever and whatever. Elohim's either gods, plural, or angels. And I'm not sure we know where godness begins and ends in that equation. There's little question that the God ruled the pack. And it is quite obvious that the Logos, the one that was facing him and could tell us all we need to know about him and was of the same essence as God, humbled himself, took a subordinate position. And it is quite obvious from Scripture that the God who was top God in Philippians 2, because of what he did in obedience to the Father, has given him a name which is above every name, raised him, and has decreed that every knee would bow, heaven, earth, and under the earth. So the Logos and the Theos seem to be in a sequential pattern of elevating the other. And the Holy Spirit has one function, subjection to the other two. I mean, one of our healing evangelists received a lot of notoriety. Benny Hinn wrote a book about praying to the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's sole purpose is to elevate Christ in obedience to the Father, who has that as his purpose. And you're not going to make the Holy Spirit happy by trying to bring him out of his subordinate role. For, you know, pick the Holy Spirit up from his humble path and dust him off and elevate him to a position of prominence. He doesn't want it. There's no problem since Satan. The only one that was bothered with the God being on top was Lucifer. He got kicked out. And hell was prepared for him and his angels. And that's where he ends up. He'll stay eternally. So he's the great loser that most of you have been following. So you've got to be an absolute disbeliever in the Bible to not accept the fact that this earth was populated with at least three species of master beings. The descendants of Adam before the flood with great longevity of life, and we don't know how long God and Adam and Eve walked and talked together in the garden before Lucifer inspired the fall. So wisdom and life from God and longevity, 600, 700, 800, 900 years. I'd be so smart, and so would you. But don't try to compare 700, 800, and 900-year-old geniuses with the best genius on earth today, computers and all, who live 70, 80 years. You could be a fool to not believe there was a master race.
This is the end of Side 1. End of Side 1.